You are listening to a weekend gathering of Shelter Church located in Kettering, Ohio. If you'd like to learn more about who we are, visit us at shelterchurch.tv.
We all have a need to belong. We all have a need to deep down inside, there's this need for each one of us to experience community or at least belong. And I don't know about you, but man, have you ever felt left out? Have you? Yeah, like maybe you just didn't fit or you didn't fit in or you felt left out. I remember when I was a freshman in high school, I weighed maybe 100 pounds, okay? My nickname was the Stick Man. All right, I was the Stick Man, right? And when I went out for football my freshman year, right, I picked up another nickname. It wasn't just the Stick Man. I was the Dweeb. Okay, I was Dweeb. Now here's the deal: there were two Dweebs. There was Dweeb number one and Dweeb number two. It was me and my buddy Ron Don Neal. And what they'd do is they'd get us in this hamburger drill, the two Dweebs, and we had to battle it out for Dweeb number one. Okay, and sometimes I was Dweeb number two. All right. I think we all have stories in our life where we just feel at times where we just don't fit or we don't belong. And I can tell you that's what this is about. This is about us providing opportunity for people to belong. I know that growing up for me, I had Pastor Richard. Pastor Richard was my first youth pastor. When I was in the 6th, 7th grade, Pastor Richard not only led the music at West Carrollton Church of the Nazarene, but he also led this and spearheaded the youth. And he would bring us all up, and we had risers. And what we'd do is we'd have plaid shirts and blue pants, and we all did these back in the late 70s, early 80s. It was what we called the Believer Tour. And we all got up. There was like 30 of us. We get up on these risers, and we would sing songs to tracks. And we all felt like we belonged, man. We had plaid shirts and blue pants, and we'd sing these songs like, "Hey, I'm a believer now." You know what I mean? You know? And that's what we did. And so we did this Southland tour, and we traveled all over doing this deal. And I remember my first youth trip, man. It was the first time away from my mom, okay? And I carried my suitcase, and I was so nervous about it. I got on the church van, and we get to Lexington, Kentucky, and that was our first stop. And everybody pulls their luggage out to put their believer outfit on. And guess what? I forgot my suitcase. So I had to stand up on a stage without my believer outfit, man. And oh my gosh, I felt like I didn't belong then, that's for sure. But there's Pastor Richard and Pastor Rex. Pastor Rex would speak life into me. Even though at school I was a dweeb, at my youth meetings and my time with Pastor Rex was pouring into me, letting me know, hey, Ryan, you belong, man. God is calling you into something, right? He's calling all of us into something, is he not? He's calling us to be a part of the kingdom of God. And Rex would speak into me, man. And in doing that, it helped me overcome this idea that, you know what, maybe I do fit into something, right? Hey, look, I want you to know this morning that you belong, that you belong. This is a series of messages that we're kicking off. The word, or this is we. This is we. And who we are and who God's calling us to be is a community, a church. And God is calling all of us, right, to get to know each other. And to know who we are, right? And to connect more deeply. God is calling you to understand that you belong. You belong a part of something greater than anything this world can manufacture. He's calling you to be a part of a community, calling us to be a part of a church, calling us to be a part of the kingdom of God. And this is we. It seems, I know this. I know that, let me just say this. In my time, I share in community several times a week with different folks. And one of my most coveted times is with I just felt like God wanted me to connect with Ashton and Becca. And Ashton and Becca on Wednesdays, when we meet, one of the words that they had been feeling and wrestling with is this idea of community. And so as we begin to pray and think on this, we believe that God this year is calling the Shelter to grow more deeply in community. Are you here with me today? right? This is the word, our messages, things we talk about, the events, the stuff that we do. God is calling us to grow and to provide an opportunity for people to know that they belong. My family needs to know that they belong, a part of this church. My kids, they belong, a part of you. They're a part of you. I say all that to say that there was an old friend of mine, and it was about 5 years ago at the shelter community, the shelter when we were at the other location, and I got to know her very well. She came and was invited out of a recovery meeting. She came and was a part of our meeting, or a part of our church, and I would meet with her, and she began to share with me her story, and her story was this reoccurring issue that she had in her life was that she struggled with abandonment, and she struggled with this idea that she did not belong. And so in meeting with her, what we found, or what she shared with me, was that when she was about six or 7 years old, they would go on Saturdays to visit what she thought was her dad. And all the brothers and sisters would go up to the house, run up to the house up on the hill, and they would go in the house and they would visit with their dad. It was a divorced family, a split family. But Angela was told by her mom not to go up to see the dad, to stay at the swing set at the back bottom part of the yard. And she stayed there, and she always looked up at her brothers and sisters as they walked into the house to see what she thought was her dad, later to find that that wasn't her dad. And so all those visits and all that lack of attention and all that rejection that she felt from her father, she struggled with all of her life up to her death. The struggle of feeling like she didn't belong. The struggle, feeling, and this triggers that she dealt with, and the stuff that went down and all of that. And through the rest of her life, the same pattern and same cycle, this idea that she did not fit, that she did not belong, this idea that she was, for whatever reason, the last 4 or 5 weeks, she passed away about 4 or 5 years ago. And for whatever reason, I can't get her out of my mind. Her feeling would cause her to relapse, would cause her to go back to what she knew. Here's the truth. The truth is that within all of us, there is this need to belong. And the goal of the enemy is to get us isolated. The goal of the enemy is to split you and your spouse. The goal of the enemy is to pull you down, is to get you alone. Because when you're alone, man, you will attest to this, our natural tendency is to begin to think things that are less than what God has for you and I. Come on now, you can admit it. We're all here. We're all in this together. The enemy's goal is to get you alone. The enemy's goal is to bring you down. The enemy's goal is to destroy you and your relationships. And I believe that there's a whole lot of us that struggle with this idea and this feeling that we don't belong, this feeling that we are not a part. And I would venture to say that those of us that have grown up in church, those of us that have been a part of church for a good part of our lives, I would say that many of us at one time or another has been hurt by church. And so through these weeks, you know, these last couple weeks, I do not think that maybe these church cancellations were not even maybe perhaps by design to create maybe that hunger, that sense that, you know what, at least it has for me, a feeling like, man, I got to get back to my people. I got to get back to where God has called me. There are a whole lot of good churches out there. And canceling church has brought up within me some real concerns. In all my life, I don't think that we've witnessed this 2 weeks in a row. And I say that to say this. Here's my concern. When we fail to meet, we fail to connect and experience community. God help us. Our times on Sunday in coming together and times through the week in life groups are intentional. They have meaning and they have purpose. The church is not some place, folks, where we go. It's not a building. And regardless of what you've been taught, right? I was taught this, right? Well, it's like this. Here's the church. Here's the steeple. Open the doors. See all the people, right? Right? That is not the church. The church is not the building. It's not the building. The church is the experience. And here's a gut check for all of us. A gut check for staff. A gut check for you church leaders. A gut check for all of us that are part of this and that have been running with this for a while. A gut check for those of us that have poured our energy and our time and our resources into this so that people can have a sense of belonging. Here's the gut check. Is the Shelter Community Church for you a meeting or is it a movement? Is it just a meeting time? I got to go to church. Or is it a movement? The first time that Jesus ever introduced church in the scriptures, I want to read to you and show you the first and really one of the only times that you see church in the Gospels. It's in Matthew chapter 16. Look at 16, 18, and 19. Here's what it says. Jesus is here, is saying this. He says, now I say to you that you are Peter. Now I'm going to give you reference and context to this. He's talking to the disciples and specifically Peter here, which means rock. Now I say to you that you are Peter. Peter's name meant rock. And upon this rock, I will build my church and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. So let me just kind of give you some background with all this. Peter's name meant rock. Okay. And here's the thing, when Jesus does a great job, when he's communicating, he does a great job with connecting with people. And here he's connecting with Peter. Peter, his name meant rock. You could say, yeah, he was like the rock. I mean, you know, the movie guy, Rock, the Rock. I mean, Peter was a bad dude, man. I mean, later on in the Gospels, who was it that pulled out the sword and whacked that dude's ear off? That was Peter, man. You did not mess with Peter. Peter was like a rock. He could bench press about 325, and man, he could knock you out with push-ups. I mean, Peter, the disciples were saying, man, Peter's a bad dude. I'm not getting in Peter's way. Peter was tough. Jesus knew that. And Jesus connected with Peter, and he says to Peter, right? Now I say to you that you are Peter. Meaning you are a rock. You are a rock. And upon this rock, I will build my church. Now, a lot of commentary says that Jesus is referring to Peter, and Jesus is referring to Peter being the rock in which he will build his church. No. I don't believe that's what Jesus is doing here. Because when you go back, let's just go back. Look at verse 15 and 16. Here's what it says. Jesus is in a conversation with Peter, and in 15, he asks the disciples, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter, he answered. After all, Simon was the rock. Everybody kind of let Peter speak first, or he'd smack him upside the head, right? And so Peter answered first, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. That's what Peter said. Verse 17, Jesus replied, you are blessed, Simon, son of Jonah, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you, and you did not learn this from any human being. Jesus validates what Peter is saying in front of the disciples, because the truth of what he's saying here is Peter saying, you know, I may be the rock, but man, you are a bad dude. You are the, not bad isn't bad, folks. Come on, hang with me here. You are like the sun. I may be a rock, but you're like a boulder, man. You're the son of the living God. That's what he's saying. And Jesus, of course, you know, he doesn't get all hung up in all that, you know, overwhelming masculinity. You know what I mean? He you know, Jesus kind of maneuvers around all that. But he connects with Peter in a profound way. And Jesus then transitions that and begins to explain, and upon this rock, meaning this rock, upon my namesake, meaning upon the very belief that I am the Son of God, that's the rock, that's the cornerstone, that's the capstone, that is what the church is built upon, not Peter, not a man, it's built upon the Son of the living God. Does that make sense? Folks, when we started Shelter, it was beyond anything that we could ever do in and of ourselves, right? It was God breathing life into what goes on here. We cannot manufacture any of what we do without the power of the Holy Spirit and the belief in that the fact that Jesus is the Son of the living God. That is what transcends and supports and props up and is the foundation for everything that we do. Peter and the others, and even us, now that we know what the capstone and who the capstone and who the cornerstone is, we come along and begin to build upon that. We build upon that basic belief that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. Yet, they were not what Jesus was. And then we move into this part of this idea of the church and all the powers. He says, upon this rock I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. The church, this idea of the church, it was not, you know, we say this all the time, it's not a place, it was not a building, it was nothing. It's not any of that. What Jesus is referring to, when you go back into the Greek and you look at the Greek, this word called ekklesia, say that with me, ekklesia, right? That is the church. The church. And here's what it's truthfully, when Jesus uses that word, it was not a religious word. Isn't that cool? That's really cool. It was not a religious word. The church, when Jesus uses this word that he used for the church, it was not a religious word at all. At the time, it was viewed for citizens to come and gather for a certain cause, for a certain mission, for a certain movement. That's what brought people together. That's what became their ecclesia, right? That's what became their church. That's what Jesus is referring to. It would also be referred to when soldiers gathered for a particular movement or gathering. There was a purpose, a mission. It was very intentional. They knew why they were here. They were not coming together just for a good old-fashioned meeting. They were coming together because they believed in a movement. They believed that the kingdom of God was something more than brick and mortar. They believed that the kingdom of God was something that the living God wanted to use to encapsulate folks, to let people know that they can belong to something that is greater than anything that this world has to offer. It was a gathering of people united together to accomplish that movement and mission. And so Jesus, he says here, he says, upon this rock, this basic belief that I'm the Son of the living God, I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. Folks, when you belong to this church, not please, guys, not the Shelter Church. I'm not just meaning that. I'm talking about something much more profound and universal. When you belong to the church, to the movement that God has called all of us to. It crosses and transcends all denominational barriers and lines. It's something much greater, much more profound. Look, when you belong to that kingdom movement, folks, you have a shelter from death and darkness and the powers of hell. The church, as Jesus defines it, this movement, defeats death. It overcomes death, darkness, and despair. So for you this morning, I ask, is this a meeting or a movement? When you see that video of those that are in China, there's a reason why they pull those Bibles out too. You know why they pull those Bibles out? I would venture to say they don't have access to a Bible app. The government doesn't allow that. They pull those Bibles out. Those Bibles are there. Those folks begin to press in and lean in and experience not just a meeting, but a movement, something that they belong to. Is there any wonder why the enemy wants to destroy your relationships, bring you into darkness and isolate you? Is there any wonder why the enemy wants you to think that you don't belong? He does not want you to experience this idea of belonging to something greater than anything this world can offer. Romans 12, 3 and 5, it says this, For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we through many form one body, and each member, say it with me, what? Belong. Man, that was weak, y'all. Come on now. Belongs, right? Belongs to all the others. You belong to the kingdom of God. You belong to this ecclesia. You belong to this movement. God is calling you. It's greater than anything this world has to offer. And through this community, through this movement, folks, that's how we break through and find hope and truth and peace. God chose the church as the vehicle by which he can channel his love, his grace, his truth to each one of us to help us overcome. My close friend at work has a neighbor, 14 years old. Last week, she walks down the driveway of a divorced family home, her mom in Florida and her dad here in Preble County. And before the bus driver came, she took her own life at 14 years old. 14 years old. God help this family, right? Lord, be with this family. Folks, people are dying to belong. So some would say, why are you pouring all this resources and money into a student ministry's room? Maybe because there's others like this 14-year-old, right? There's others like me, dweeb number one or dweeb number two, depending on which week it was, that needed a community, needed a Becca or a youth leader to speak life into me. All of us need to know that we belong, and I believe there is a whole lot of people who feel like they do not. And in belonging, let's not just belong to a meeting. Let's belong to something that moves, something that's a movement. You know, look, you know when you're just meeting, And you know when you're just, when you know when you're moving. And I think that there's been times in the way of distractions and things that have kind of come into play that maybe we need to evaluate that question. Are we meeting or are we moving? Here's a call to action. A call to act, and then we're going to pray. Call to action in terms of being a part of this movement. And you know what? I think it's okay to say this. I don't know where you are in your relationship with Christ. I don't know where you are, where all of you are this morning. But I want to challenge you. It doesn't matter where you are. Well, it does matter. But let me say this. For what I'm saying, there's nothing that keeps you from doing this. Lean into what I'm saying. There's three things. If you want to write these down real quick, three things. Here's what I want to challenge you to do. I want to challenge you to excavate, meaning I want you to dig in. Dig in. We come in here in the morning and I say, hey, Justin, how are you this morning? Justin says, I'm okay, Ryan. Good, Justin. What went down? Oh, man, just been working this week. Great. How are you doing, Ryan? I'm okay. Man, it's good to see you, buddy. And we move on. God wants something more than that. Justin, what are you dealing with this week? What are you dealing with? What are you struggling with? What's going on, man? Hearing someone's story. Folks, I want to say something this morning. It is very difficult for four or five of us who you call pastors to see you at the door and dig in like we need to dig in. This church was not built and called for it to be just pastor-led and pastor-supported, right? It was called for a community of people to understand and get plugged in to a movement. To dig in and know each other's story. Look someone in the eye. You look around this room right now. How many people in here that you don't know from Adam, number one? How many people in here, you don't know where they came from. You don't know what they're about. Remember the person I told, shared with you at the beginning of the story? How many at shelter 5 or 6 years ago did not know that story about that lady that was a part of our church? Past. Would that have made a difference? Dig in, get to know someone, excavate that relation, meaning get into that relationship. The second thing is this, circle up. Folks, start meeting. Meet with people. Sunday isn't enough. It's amazing what comes out on the other side. You can experience the purest form of church, not in here, but out there. Someone's like, what are you talking about, Ryan? Here's what I'm talking about. On Saturday morning here, I can't get there every week, and I hate it. On Saturday morning, I had four or five guys. They text each other, and they meet here or they meet somewhere, but they're encouraging one another. They're speaking truth into each other. They're praying for each other. They come in here and we meet. And the Lord told me at work, Ryan, I want you to get these two young guys, Nathan, and I want you to get Matt. And he said, I want you to ask Jerry Heatherly, your spiritual sponsor. And Jerry drives up from Westchester. Jerry sits, and we sit on Fridays. We were meeting once every 3 weeks. And Matt said, guys, I would really appreciate it if we could do this every week. We're meeting them every week on Friday morning. There's four of us. And we do life group. What we do, we just meet and we check in. We share what's going on. We share a little bit about our story, what God's doing. And then we read for 20 minutes. We read the scripture. And when you read out loud the scripture, folks, you read two or three chapters out loud with someone else. There's not a teaching. There's no, someone say, Ryan, I can't do that. I can't pull people together because I don't know enough to be a teacher. I'm not qualified. I don't have the credentials. I've not gone through your leadership training. Guys, you don't have to do that. You just read the scripture with someone. And when you begin to do that, it's amazing what comes out of that. And then we pray. Pray for each other, give each other a charge, and we move on. And then the Lord said, Ryan, I don't want you to do that south, just the south office. I want you to do that the north office. And I'm like, man, I can't do it. I got two going right now. I don't want to do Christmas party. Nick Minda, who's a wife or husband of Amy, comes to me at the Christmas party. I don't know Nick that well. He's a great guy. But he's got some things he's dealing with physically. And he comes up to me and he says, "Hey, Ryan, is there any way you could get a Bible study going on at your office? And maybe I could be a part of that. I know that you got some stuff that you do at your church. And man, I would really appreciate that." So last week, Don Schertz, Aaron Maggard, John Pemberton, Chaz, and Nick. Every other week, we're reading scripture, checking in, we're praying, we're out in 60 minutes. Folks, and you know what? I would say this to you, and please don't fire me in saying this. That is a purer form of church, the early church, than what we got going on here on Sunday morning. I challenge you with that, folks. We need to meet. We need to gather. But I'm telling you, God has something more he wants us to do in the way of experiencing community at a deeper level. And our prayer is God begins to raise up those of us here to know each other's stories and connect in a more intimate way. I said this first service, I said, you know, when we've laid, or I thought, and because this is on my mind, I said, you know what? You know, at times I feel like, and I don't have anyone in mind, but where someone would say, "Well, they didn't ask me to be a part of their group." Well, if that is a question or if that's a comment that you've made, here's the truth. If you've asked that question, it's probably because you need to get two people and lead a group. You can do it. Just pull people together over a cup of coffee and get together and experience the purest form of church in terms of reading and praying and encouraging one another. God help us. Let's all stand. Father, help us this morning. Help us this morning in what we're doing. God, I pray that you would help us to grow in community with one another. God, I pray that, Lord, you would just empower the church to be who it's called to be. I pray that in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Randy, you belong. You belong. You belong a part of this church and this community. Chris Lehman, you belong. You've been on my mind this week, struggling with your dad. His dad is sick, really sick, and he needs your prayer. Jason Stamm, you belong, man. What you deal with week in and week out, being a cop and seeing the darkness of this world so that we don't have to see it. You need to know his story. Bernice, you and Chad belong. You're wonderful people. The way you care and connect, the way you practice the church in the most authentic way. One of the greatest blessings that ever came to the Shelter Church was you and Chad after 30 days homeless. Someone say, what came out of 30 days? About 8 years ago. Two things. Ella, Chad and Bernice. Scott Britton, you belong, man. You belong. People don't know what you do behind the scenes. Lord, I just pray, God, that folks here in this church, they know. They know that they belong. And that they, Father, receive the truth this morning. That they are a part of something greater than anything that this world can offer. And Lord, prayerfully, I challenge these folks. I challenge them, God, to meet to get to know one another, to speak into each other. Experience, Lord, something greater. And I believe that as the world looks upon, they will come to know you for the love that we have for each other. I pray, Lord, you would help us as a church to grow in community so that, Lord, we can continue to lead people into that life-changing relationship with you, Jesus. Lord, help us to grow small in really big ways. Thank you for our expressions, for what Jay is leading in OTM, meeting with folks that many of us don't have a prayer of reaching, and Don Fricke with his recovery Tuesday night, and all that goes on in all of that. God, thank you for what he started and what he has built. Father, I just ask that your blessing would be upon us and upon the church, and help us as we move forward in the days to come. In Jesus' name.
The message you just listened to was from a weekend gathering at Shelter Church. If you'd like to learn more about us or speak with a pastor, please visit us online at shelterchurch.tv.